Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Familiar with our Attorney General, correct, Mr. Uthmeyer?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do you have an understanding of whether or not he opened up a political committee to help Florida families obtain economic self-sufficiency?
Sir, beyond what I just stated, I don't have anything additional to add.
Okay. Do you think a political committee is the best method of helping families achieve economic self-sufficiency?
Sir, thank you for that question. My understanding is those two organizations, again, what I recently read, are focused on helping to support families from a recovery perspective and access to care and economic self-sufficient families. I have no reason to believe that funds went beyond that. Again, really focused
on... No reason to believe, Secretary? I mean, you know that $10 million went from the Hope Florida Foundation to James Uthmeyer's political committee. Are you really telling me that you have no reason to believe that money wasn't improperly used? Is that what you're telling me?
Sir, again, what I have been focused on, many of the things that we're talking about occurred when I was not at the department.
And but so you for stated this month, that you had no reason to believe it wasn't misused when it, obviously you have reasons to believe that it was misused. I'm just asking for a good faith conversation here. We didn't put you under oath because we expect you guys to act like you're under oath. Please don't act like the sky is green when it's obviously blue.
Oh, this is, I told you there was a third act coming. Okay. This was a long meeting. It was about 2 hours. This is Alex Andrade overseeing the subcommittee on healthcare budget that they were, after all the stuff from last week about the $10 million payment, now they got all the Hope, the Hope Florida Foundation chair, which is the fundraising arm, okay? That's the folks who received and dispersed the $10 million in what seems like the dark of night, to a dark money pack that did lobbying against Amendment 3. Then now you've got Taylor Hatch, which is the DCF secretary, okay, one of the entities that partners with Hope Florida on a lot of stuff, and apparently Hope Florida kind of works within, or it's ACA, or it's, anyway, there's Hope Florida, which is all the navigators helping people get off government assistance, helping people find the things they need in the private sector from charities or from religious institutions. A very good program that is trying to do very good things that seems to have had great success. That's not the issue. So this is not in any way, by anybody, an attack on the value or the goodness of Hope Florida. It's the fundraising entity, this Hope Florida Foundation, through which $10 million went, to which it went, looks like illegitimately, through which it went with no accounting controls, no stated objectives, no measurables, no deliverables, no oversight, no accountability, in a secret payment that was hidden from the public, that they did not do any kind of publicity around the 10 in or the 10 out, and which we're now, like, every part of this looks worse. And the board of which is 5, not 7. That should be by state law 7. The board of which didn't do financial conflict disclosures, which is bad. And that the chairman of the board, Josh Hay, is there in front of the committee telling us, hey, we're going to have a meeting on Thursday and we're going to try to improve all of this stuff, largely through the efforts of our attorney. Okay. And some of these names are going to be important for you to understand as we're kind of finally getting to the payoff here. But you have the attorney that he's going to be working with, which is, oh, his name went right out of my head. It's I'm trying to track all his information. It's Jeff. His last name escapes me. It'll come up here in a second. But that's a key one to keep in mind is the attorney. Okay, now going back to the how we got here, this is Josh Hay saying, I'm fixing these flaws. We're remedying this. We're doing our paperwork better.
I'm currently coordinating with counsel. Counsel that is not Jeff Aaron, to identify all of the deficiencies, to inventory them, and make sure that we have a complete agenda to make any ratifications or resolutions at the board so that those controls can be implemented.
And who would that attorney be?
Mohammed Jazil.
Okay. From Holtzman Vogel?
Correct.
Okay. Mohammed Jazil is helping me. No big deal. As you heard him say there, Jeff Aaron is the one who has been working as the attorney for the Hope Florida Foundation. He is the one who apparently when the first request for the mysterious money donation came in and the mysterious grant application came in, He then said it's okay. The board voted on it. Fine-ish. Then he apparently helped a second entity write an almost identical application by saying, hey, here's how to get the other $5 million. And that was just done by the chairman without an actual board vote. Definitely not okay. But who is this Muhammad Jazeel?
With the revelation that you're working with Mr. Jazeel, I did want to point out that Muhammad Jazeel is the counsel for the PAC that received these illicit funds. Did he disclose that conflict to you for offering his service to you to paper Hope Florida Foundation's documents?
No.
Okay. Does your counsel here believe that might be a potential conflict, Mr. Heron?
This is the first I've heard of that. We'll look at it.
I believe that conflict should have been disclosed.
In other words, Jazeel, who's now the second person to be helping them fix all of their paperwork issues and get them in compliance, is also an attorney who works with the PAC that ultimately got the $10 million it was used to fight Amendment 3 that James Uthmeyer was the head of at the time. Now, lawyers can work with a lot of different entities, okay? You know, it's not necessarily smoking gun kind of stuff, but it starts to look worse and worse the farther we go here. And, of course, the head, the board chair has brought his attorney with him just in case. He got sworn in under oath and the others did not, and he's brought his attorney because we're in dangerous territory here, right? John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Still rolling with no accidents this morning, but if you're traveling on Highway 9, Avalon Boulevard southbound, heading toward I-10, expect about a 10 to 11-minute delay just due to congestion. Also, if you're traveling Highway 29 southbound approaching 9 Mile, expect about a 10 to 15-minute congestion delay there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right, John, are you tracking this so far? Am I right that Act 3 is starting? I mean, Act 2, 1 and 2 were bad.
I do have like a little notepad going.
Oh, my God, it's so much to keep track of. I totally understand. But let's press on. We're in the middle of it.
Okay.
So my personal representation is Mark Heron. I think Mr. Jazeel represents the foundation. And I am not aware of the legality of, you know, his involvement of the PAC.
When did he first become the legal representative for the Hope Florida Foundation?
I've been working with Mr. Jazeel for about a month.
For about a month. Who approached who?
Because remember, the payments were back in October, okay?
Through coordination with existing counsel, Jeff Aaron.
So Jeff Aaron connected you with Muhammad Jazeel, the attorney for Keep Florida Clean, to help Hope Florida's foundation in complying with the paperwork to retroactively justify this payment? Is that what I'm hearing right now? Members, I'm sorry. I am a little flabbergasted at this revelation.
Yeah.
The intent is...
Did Mr. Aaron disclose the conflict?
The intent for me is to cure the deficiencies, the noted deficiencies between the statutory requirements and what needs to be papered at the foundation. As it pertains to conflicts, I don't have that.
Mr. Hay, I'm obviously going to have a lot of questions for Mr. Aaron in the very near future. I just want to preemptively ask, are you comfortable waiving attorney-client privilege, any type of privilege that Mr. Aaron might try to avoid answering my questions? Are you comfortable waiving that privilege?
Sure.
Thank you.
So that's a good news note. Again, I think he's an honest guy. I just think he's in way over his head, didn't know what was going on, did some things he shouldn't have done because he didn't know any better, and it looks like he got manipulated and taken advantage of by some people who wanted to do a thing, is what it looks like to me, through this web network of who knows who and who's playing both sides of this in order to facilitate the $10 million side payment funnel through, whatever you want to call it. So then that's the next clip was actually one I already played, which was, you know, are you comfortable with this? And asking his lawyer, are you comfortable with this and all of that? And then it turns out that there's a perfectly decent attorney, Andrew McGinley, who works for the Department of Children and Families, who would be certainly available to help the foundation get all of their paperwork right and is capable of this instead of Muhammad Jazeel or Jeff Aaron.
Well, it sounds like he was uniquely situated to be the one helping the Hope Florida Foundation correct its deficient paperwork. Why did the Hope Florida Foundation retain an outside counsel who happened to also be counsel for Keep Florida Clean, the Keep Florida Clean PAC?
Sir, thank you for the question. I can't speak to why an individual was chosen or they were not. I think what is clear is the supportive services that are needed both from the DSO and DCF.
It sounds like Mr. Aaron was the one that set up that relationship. I have some serious questions for Mr. Aaron at this point.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely coming before this committee.
In your mind, though, could you explain what, how you thought that would actually benefit the community? What were, what would the $5 million actually accomplish?
Sure. For
so this is Deborah Tendrich asking Josh Hay about the the $10 million. What did they think they were getting for their money, since there was no clarity on the objectives, no measurables, no oversight, no accounting controls, nothing? They're just, don't ask us what we're using the money for. We don't have to tell you what we're using the money for. Just give us this money, half of which was given apparently without even a board vote.
For a secure Florida's future, if you have the grant proposal in hand, fourth paragraph down, first sentence notes public awareness campaign. And to my understanding, that public awareness campaign would be to bring awareness to the Hope Florida Foundation and its purpose, which aligns with the purpose and mission of Department of Children and Families.
Okay, so theoretically, the $10 million was for advertising and promotion. Again, of an entity that so far to date has only total gross revenue $2 million apart from this $10 million windfall. So $12 million total. $10 million comes in this really squirrely way and is going to be spent to promote a $2 million entity.
Has Keep Florida Clean ever done any advertising for the Hope Florida Foundation?
As we noted earlier, Chairman, there's deficiencies with monitoring and where we can enhance, and those deficiencies actually were highlighted from questions from the 990.
The only reason I ask is it sounds like Mr. Uthmeyer owes y'all money. Representative Tendrich, you recognize.
And that had come up as, you know, maybe they didn't deliver. Maybe they owe you the money back. Can it be recovered at this point? Just a little bit more. We're almost there.
Okay, told us.
You remember one of the big conversations at the previous committee meeting was the dramatic emphasis on Hope Florida in the new contracts with ACA, the requirement that everybody work with Hope Florida, coordinate with Hope Florida, do Hope Florida's bidding. If you don't, you can face legal ramifications, something that is uniquely put in the contract related to other entities, not related to Hope Florida. Yes, if you don't achieve their goals kind of thing. So given all of that, again.
ACA told us they don't have any Hope Navigators. So which agency's Hope Navigators were going to be providing those loneliness services to every managed care plan in the state?
I am unaware of that answer.
Okay. Did anyone ever give you a heads up, hey, you guys feature heavily, the entity that you're the executive director of features heavily in the state's largest contracts?
By the way, he's asking Eric Dellenbeck here, who is the executive director for Hope Florida, not the fundraising arm, but the actual entity that last week we thought didn't even exist because the secretary of ACA claimed that there was no executive director of this agency. Eric Dellenbeck, by the way, is the one who has since quit. Yesterday, he quit at his position. And he seems like a good guy, too. I mean, he did fundraising operations for like Tim Tebow's foundation and Chris Tomlin's foundation. And I think what he discovered is in the middle of all these, like, what in the world am I involved in here? I'm out. Anyway, here's his answer.
They did not, and that was not an area that I was that I have great understanding of.
Okay. I understand that you receive a salary from DCF. You might want to ask them for an increase in your salary because apparently Hope Florida is one of the largest providers of expanded benefits to every Medicaid recipient in the state. And I'm a little shocked that you were unaware of that or not prepared for that or warned about that because Secretary Harris told us last week that, oh, this was a great program and a great idea. That's a concern.
And remember, the governor announced on Tuesday that all of a sudden all of your state colleges are going to have Hope Florida navigators assigned to them, which would seem to me, just as a layman, like that would be something the legislature would decide, not that the governor would just suddenly out of thin air use as a pretext for coming to Pensacola State College to attack our two local representatives. But side notes. So Alex says, look, we are going to get everybody up in front of this committee and we are going to ask them all the questions. And here's my advice to you, Josh Hay, the chairman of the board of the Hope Florida Foundation.
Mr. Hay, I do have serious concerns about Keep Florida Clean's attorney also serving as the Hope Florida Foundation's attorney. And I would ask as a personal favor that you would reconsider that relationship and work with DCF and only DCF employees and attorneys at DCF to get your paperwork into compliance. I have serious concerns about what might be occurring in the post-dating of documentation to attempt to justify and cover up what actually happened.
That's a wrap. So I know if you're a citizen and you don't pay a lot of attention to how charities work, how boards work, proper procedure. I mean, I get that you can be a little bit like, God, Andrew, you're spending a lot of time on this. Because anybody who is familiar with those worlds is watching this in horror. Like, this is unbelievable incompetence or worse. John, can you?
Yeah, I haven't seen it this bad ever.
Just,
and it just blows my mind.
It's amazing. It is, and I know my people who are in government and on boards, and all, their communication to me is, Andrew, have you seen this? I'm like, I see it. This is not over. There will be more. 725 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. If you are traveling on Highway 29 southbound headed toward 9 Mile, you're going to see about a 5 to 7 minute delay. Also, just south of 9 Mile Road on 29, you're seeing about a 7 to 9 minute delay. If you are traveling on Avalon Boulevard southbound headed toward I-10, expect about a 5 minute delay through that just due to congestion. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
On Easter, many Christians will joyously celebrate the resurrection and life of the Lord Jesus. With that glorious holiday approaching, it is first appropriate to consider his death. Matthew 27 records the crucifixion and three types of agonizing abuse. First, the physical abuse of his death. They spit upon Jesus. They smote him on his head and plaited a crown of thorns and nailed him to the cross for Roman crucifixion. Secondly, they verbally abused him. The Bible says that as they passed by, they reviled him with their words and insulted him. Thirdly, they religiously abused him. They mocked his claims as the Son of God and the true King of Israel. Jesus, who himself never sinned, went through this abuse to die a substitutionary death for sinners like me and you. Rejoice in the gracious gospel of Jesus Christ.
For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
It's spring at Anderson Subaru, the perfect time to refresh your ride. With 3.9% for 63 months on 2025 Subaru Outback models, or get 3.9% for 48 months on 2025 Forester models and 2025 Crosstrek models. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
We were on the break!
Falling asleep at the wheel again, baby. You're drifting over the line, yeah. Your hands are tied, but you're losing grip quickly. Fix me, can you read the signs?
So what's going to be the ultimate outcome here? Is it going to be resignations? We've already got one. Okay. I would be surprised if there are not more. Will there be firings? You resign or you get resigned. I would think that's probably coming. Are there going to be charges? I don't know. It's possible. But we're certainly not done with this. 729 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning. A U.S. senator in El Salvador trying to bring home a man that he says was wrongly deported by the Trump administration. Maryland Democrat Chris Van Hollen traveled to El Salvador yesterday to try to secure the return of Kilmar Abrego Garcia, who was deported March 15th. President Trump is holding trade discussions today with Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni. Meloni has ties to Italy's far-right. Party officials say she is poised to negotiate with Trump on behalf of both Italy and Europe as a whole. A U.S. official says many European countries are hopeful that she'll nudge Trump towards a trade deal. And Coachella is approaching. Organizers say they're planning to fix traffic issues that plagued the event during their first weekend in the California desert. A senior official for the festival is apologizing for the traffic jams that left campers waiting for hours to get inside.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. I got a note from somebody that there was a big conversation with DCF, like statewide, yesterday. This was the only thing they were talking about. Which I understand. People that are in government or around government-adjacent things, this is the nuclear hot topic right now. It's a big deal.
Gianna Gelosi, Maryland Democrat Senator Chris Von Hollen traveled to El Salvador to advocate for the release of Kilmer Abrego Garcia. The Trump administration defending his deportation, insisting he's a gang member and...
Abrego Garcia's wife petitioned for an order of protection against him for two instances of domestic violence.
White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt, Italy's prime minister is going to meet with President Trump at the White House for tariff talks.
The EU today is looking at Prime Minister Meloni as a representative of sorts. She's the first European leader to sit down face-to-face with the president since he implemented and then paused 20% tariffs on European exports. And they do really share a good relationship. So today she's going to be working to preserve that while also seeing if she can sway Trump on a zero-for-zero tariff deal that the European Union is seeking.
That's Fox's Alexandria Hoff. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Sunshine right now. We've got 56 degrees in Pensacola. A major gas leak causing issues downtown yesterday. Roads were closed. A senior living center was evacuated after a construction worker mistakenly hit a gas main with an excavator. It happened about 10 a.m. yesterday. Pensacola Fire Department says energy crews got to work on repairs quickly.
And they've already filled in the holes and put some fresh sod down, so everything is back up and running. Gas is restored to the businesses that lost gas. So, highlights are lit back up, so we're back to normal.
Fire Chief Justin Horty says residents at the Wesley Haven Villa were moved to the nearby Methodist Church for about an hour as those repairs were underway. He said the residents were in good spirits.
Oh, we got good feedback. I think they enjoyed being escorted across the street and backed by all of the firefighters.
Florida's getting ready for a statewide bear hunt. The FWC would like more public input.
Florida could see its first sanctioned black bear hunt in nearly a decade as FWC considers new proposals to manage the bear population. Officials are drafting plans for a potential hunt in December. The agency is now collecting online public comments available for public review by May 7th. The next FWC meeting will be May 21st through 22nd in Ocala, Florida. Chris Bryant, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you, Chris. Florida lawmakers are moving forward with efforts to bring more transparency to higher education. Representative Michelle Salzman's HB 1321 passed through the House yesterday. Earlier this week, Governor DeSantis and Salzman had said that Salzman had filed that bill under pressure from party leaders. Now, she denied that yesterday.
Everything in the bill is common sense, and it's certainly conservative. I mean, if I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, I love this, this is exactly where I want to land. Hey, by the way, can we do this too? And I'm feeling that excited about it. And I'm over here carrying Second Amendment bills and and other super term limits. And I mean, clearly it matches my mindset. If you read what the bill does and you look at what I do in the legislature, it perfectly aligns, which tells you right there that leadership didn't make me carry this bill.
The bill requires university presidential searches to be subject to public records laws. Also under the new bill, the state university system's Board of Governors would no longer have the final say in confirming a school's choice of president. Well, change coming to the Hope Florida initiative. Eric Dellenbeck announcing yesterday he's resigned as executive director. He said he's accepted a position with Florida Family Voice as its new CEO. A new College of Florida official now facing criminal charges. Marketing and media director Fred Piccolo was fired yesterday after being arrested earlier this week in Manatee County. He's charged with exposure of sexual organs. This dates back to an incident about a month ago in Lakewood Ranch. The sheriff's office says he approached a woman in a car and asked for directions while nude and touching himself inappropriately. His lawyer says that his Parkinson's medication causes side effects such as compulsive behavior and hypersexuality. It is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. Right now, let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. No accidents to report to you right now. Well, no, one just popped up at Memphis Avenue and West Michigan Avenue. It's a vehicle crash with roadblock. We'll get more information on that, but just be aware of that one. I-10 is starting to slow down eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Expect about a 7 to 9 minute delay through that construction and congestion zone. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We will see a beautiful day today with plenty of sunshine, high near 76 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 62. Going into your Friday, plenty of sunshine, high near 79. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 65. Keeping nice weather around with some clouds in the area on Saturday, high near 80 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 66. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, 58 in Pensacola, 54 in Gulf Breeze, 52 in Milton. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with your Money Now. President Trump has again called for the Federal Reserve to lower rates and even hinted at the termination of Chair Jerome Powell and stricter export controls on TSMC clients, NVIDIA, and AMD. Futures are mixed. That's your Money Now.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola morning. It's a little chilly out today, a little chilly. It's pants and a sweater work, or a hoodie, or, you know, whatever. But it's sunny, it's beautiful, it's Pensacola. It's always still Pensacola, just keep that in mind. Mike Wood is a public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. He joins us by phone now. Mike, welcome back, sir.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So the kind of the big local event incident story yesterday was a gas leak in which you and Pensacola Fire and Escambia EMS were all involved in making sure people were safe, right?
Yeah, it was a pretty big main that was hit while some construction was going on. And if you're anywhere close down there, you could hear it. It was gas spewing out at a very high rate. We assisted the fire department with evacuations for one block area. We shut traffic off for one block area, and it took them several hours to get it fixed. But fortunately, no injuries and no major damage.
And so what was the level of concern? Because when I think natural gas and a leak, I'm thinking, you know, flame, explosion, that kind of danger. What was the level of concern by, for example, Pensacola Energy and Pensacola Fire that was going to be the outcome? Or was it more just well, gas isn't great to breathe. Gas is a problem for the locals.
I believe you'd have to ask them that, but from listening to it and seeing it, it was a great concern, especially you had Wesley Hayden Villa right there, just right on the same corner. So that was the first place we evacuated. But you have to always err on the side of caution. Play it like it could be a major incident. This one certainly could have.
How do you decide in a case like this? Because hazardous materials of all kinds, spills are not that common, but they're not that rare. How do you decide whether to evacuate people and then, how big of an area? Because, again, just the layman in me speaking is starting to think about, well, gosh, gas is in pipes and pipes travel everywhere. And, if the flame gets inside the pipes, if there happened to be a flame, like that kind of thinking. So how do you make those decisions?
Well, on this particular one, again, it was very easy because of the size and the sound and the velocity that the gas was escaping to make those decisions. But we're not in the gas business. We're always going to err on the side of caution. We're going to act as if it could be a major catastrophe. And then once the professionals get there, the fire department, Pensacola Energy, once they get there and make a determination, then we can start to stand down a little bit.
Good. And, I don't know whether, Chief Craner was on scene yesterday from PFD, but, I know she's the local emergency response coordinator for the city. And so she's super highly, capable about these things. Was she involved in this yesterday? Do you know?
I'm sure. I wasn't down there I didn't see, but yeah, I'm sure. And there was a lot of firefighters down there.
Yeah, and I know the city was really taking coordination ownership of this, so, I got some stuff from the PIO from the city, too. You guys had some burglaries last week, as sometimes happens. You and I talk in the morning, and then that night the criminals think, well, he's not going to be on the radio show for a while. We can do our crimes. I'm sure none of them think that, but what happened on Thursday?
Thursday night was burglary night. We had two burglaries near 9th Avenue and Escalona, also 9th and Fairfield, both involving residences. Both of these residences had cameras. We're always preaching to get those cameras because it sure helps us out, and it did in this case. Suspect was found near there walking and was identified by one of those cameras, or I'm sorry, by both of those cameras at each home, and he was charged accordingly. And then a short time later, there were four females who had broken into the Blue Wahoo Stadium, and once officers arrived and surrounded that area, they were caught coming out near the back of the stadium.
Why did they break into Blue Wahoo Stadium?
Well, that I don't know, but I can tell you that all they got away with was some condiment packages from one of the food stands.
wait a minute. They stole mustard and ketchup packets? What did they steal?
Yeah, that's it. And, it sounds minor, but it constitutes burglary.
Yeah.
And when you do something like that, you don't think it all the way through. And those are felony charges. As minor as it may seem, once you are somewhere, you're not supposed to be trespassing, and then you take something, now this is burglary, and this is something that the four people are now facing.
Four women broke into the Wahoo Stadium on Thursday night, and their loot was ketchup packets? And now they're facing felony charges.
Sir. Yes.
Okay. There's choices in life. I'm trying to wrap my brain around, what were Thelma and Louise thinking at this moment? the caper is, all right, we're going to get in there and get a ketchup packets. No. Get relish. No. Get mayo. No, it's going to be ketchup. It's just such a... Okay, I have to ask because it's sort of the next. Drugs or alcohol were involved?
I don't know that for sure, but usually that happens.
Okay.
People, it's Thursday night. There's lots of young folks downtown, and somebody gets the bright idea, hey, let's go jump the fence at the Blue Wahoo Stadium, take a couple of selfies at home plate, and then get out. But once you take something from there, now things get serious. Even though it's a packet or two of ketchup, things are now serious. So you gotta think these things through, and a lot of times when you're doing things like that, you simply don't think it all the way through.
Okay, I have not been privy to any of the morning meetings before shift at PFD, at Pensacola Police Department, PPD in the last week. I'm just going to go ahead and imagine that occasionally this story came up. This may have been something that y'all talked about a little bit. So, and I won't ask you to comment. We're talking to Mike Wood. He's a public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. John Pickens has got traffic on the catch-ups.
That's right. No accidents to report to you. If you are traveling I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29, even past that, through the construction zone, we are experiencing a 20-25 minute delay in that area. So definitely avoid I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. All I can think is the only thing that I have running through my whole mind right now is if only they had had better public service announcements as kids.
Pardon me, would you have any gray poupon?
But of course.
Or we can just go to Wahoo's and get it. Okay, this is a serious question. Back to Mike Wood. He is a public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. You've got a pizza delivery robbery spate going on in a certain part of town, yeah?
Yeah, this happened in the 1300 block of Tony Street Monday night. A pizza delivery driver was robbed, and this is the second time it's happened in that particular area. So we're working on that, and, I was asked a couple of days ago about not only pizza delivery drivers, but cabs and other services where it'd be DoorDash. If they are able to say no, I'm not going to go into certain areas of town. And the answer to that is yes. If a delivery driver for anybody or a cab driver feels that their safety is in danger, they certainly have the right to deny service if that's what they feel like doing.
Wow. Yeah, one or probably one person might get that whole block banned from the pizza places or whatever. Man, I'm sorry. I must have blinked with my ears. Did you say you have somebody or don't have anybody in even a suspect yet?
Nobody in custody yet.
Okay.
Still working on that.
Very good. Okay. This is kind of comes from a personal experience, but it's also something that I think it might be relevant for a lot of people. You and I talk a lot about, leaving the scene of a crime. When you have an incident, you call the police, you make sure to get a report written for clarity's sake, for law's sake, for, insurance sake. My son got involved in a fender bender, okay? And it was at Walmart, and he got backed into in the parking lot. Parking lots suck. I mean, they're just hard. And the guy, apologized, admitted fault, all fine. And we called for a police officer, and it was really hard to get one because we were told that PPD's policy is they don't come to a parking lot, a private place, except under certain circumstances. And, basically kept asking and eventually got one. And I'm so glad because, Officer Darling was great. She had apparently body cam video, didn't file a written report, but there's a CAD number associated with it. He's told her that he was in the wrong. And thank God, because now 2 months later, he's completely changed his story. Like, he's telling his insurance company that my son was at fault. And we're trying to figure this out. But my question is, I thought you always call a cop from an accident. Why does PPD, is that the policy, and why does PPD have it?
Yeah, that is the policy. It's been that way for a few years now, and a lot of departments have gone to that. Minor damage on private property, accidents, we don't write a report for. Now, if you specifically ask for an officer to come out, and the reason might be the other driver, it looks like he or she could be impaired, or there's arguments going on who's at fault, situations like that, you can certainly call the police, and if you ask for an officer will respond. But minor accidents where there is no controversy going on, they take each other's information, then they can file the report online with the state, or the officer can come give them a form to get that information in. But so we don't usually respond to those calls. However, if you ask for a Pensacola police officer to any location for any reason, you will receive one.
And I'm super glad that we pressed because, it turns out that somebody changed their story, and I'm hoping that the body cam will, vindicate and be enough evidence. But, yeah, I just had always thought, from all the years of talking about this and just generally as being alive as an adult, that you always get the cops to any accident because, responsibility, possible law breaking, anything else. And so I was just surprised to hear that was the policy. Is it because it's a resource allocation thing, that it's nobody's injured and there's no fighting over it or anything? Is that the source of this originally?
Yeah, it is partially, but also, you know, because that's going to be low on the priority list, especially if we're very busy.
Sure.
You may be there. You may be there for well over an hour. So you have the opportunity to exchange information, take photos of the damage, and then file this report online. But if there's a, you know, commercial vehicle involved, if there's injuries involved, major damage involved, then we will respond and we will take a report in right. those cases.
I appreciate that. And again, Officer Darling was fantastic when she showed up. Oh, by the way, just total side note, only because it's hilarious and awful. I was driving home, and at the intersection of Creighton and Davis, I was parked there at a red light. This is like a half hour after leaving Walmart. And this lady backed into me with her truck, and her hitch hit my front bumper. Just like,
yeah,
what in the world is happening? And it took like FHP an hour and a half to get there. Oh, she didn't have a license that was current. She didn't have insurance. She fled the scene eventually after giving me the information. And so they're working on that one too. Like, we're apparently, and my wife had had a weird fender bender with somebody else to blame like a couple of weeks prior to that. So it's like, we are the magnets for the bad drivers, apparently. All right. We always like to end with a, and that was not you guys. That was totally FHP and it was in the county anyway, which is appropriate. We always like to end with a did you know or a cop myth. Do you have one for me this week, Mike?
I do, and I was asked recently when I was working an off-duty job how much the gear weighs that an officer has, and I've got an answer for that. When you're talking duty belts, you're talking body armor and other gear, the extra weight.
Wait, can I guess? Can I guess? Can I guess?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would love to hear this.
Okay, so including, assume, the modern TAC vest, the belt, the taser, a gun, ammunition, handcuffs. I mean, it's got to be 15 pounds? What do you got?
It's between 20 and 40 pounds.
Oof.
So you've got to consider the duty belt, depending on the, which is 20 to 30 pounds, depending on the equipment carried.
Yeah.
You've got the body armor. Again, there are several different versions of the body armor that can weigh between four and 11 pounds. And then you've got the taser, the baton, the pepper spray, the radio, and the body camera. Now, this is just the patrol officer. When you're talking about the officers in full SWAT gear, it's a whole lot more than that. So, it's a lot of weight.
I have always thought that the mere act of getting into and out of your patrol vehicle is a challenge for officers in their full gear. So, wow, 25 to 40 pounds. Wow, that's a lot. All right. Well, I guess you just get used to it, right?
Yeah, you know, ever since we went to the outer body armor, they are able to take that off for a small amount of time and rest in the air conditioning in their cruisers, and they're able to put that right back on, whereas before when it was underneath, they were not able to do that. So things are getting better. They're just not getting a lot lighter.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. At least you can, you know, unzip it and get a little bit of fresh air into your chest or whatever, so that makes sense. All right, Mike Wood, he is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thank you for helping us understand what's going on in our community, helping keep us safe, and explaining things to our audience. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
7:53 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
The Studer Community Institute, with many others, is dedicated to creating America's first early learning city right here in Pensacola. To do that, Rishi and I built the United States' first early learning sensory garden right at the corner of Baylin Street and Main Street. Yep, right by the brew-through. Bring your child. Not only will they have fun, but they'll also learn a lot. And while you're there, you can have a coffee or a smoothie or a bite to eat. So please, bring your child down to the brew-through to the Early Learning Sensory Garden. Thank you.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Join Stefan Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College, on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel. Pep Talk. Mornings at 9 right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:55, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Now, if you are traveling on I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29, you're going to see a major, major road blockage there. It is because of a trailer that overturned eastbound. It's blocking the right lane between 29 and 110, and that's causing backups all the way to 9 Mile. So along with the construction, you've also got an accident that happened with a trailer. So just be aware of that. Other than that, we are rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
John, I'm so disappointed.
I know. We had a good record going.
No, not that.
What?
You said that it was a major, major, and that means that you were halfway to a Catch-22 character.
Almost.
Major, 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 major. Do you read? Do you ever read? Do you ever have to read Heller's? Okay.
Yes.
That's what I thought when you said it. My brain is weird. All right. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David, did you have? No. Ooh. That's kind of fun. Coming down to snatch all the bodies. We are the aliens. did you ever read Catch-22?
No, I did not.
Lucky you. All right. What's going on in the newsroom, sir?
Well, I relish the opportunity to give you this news. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Too much, too soon, too little.
Talk about trophy packets, though. I mean, like, to prove you were in there. Look at this. What, Wahoo's proprietary stamped ketchup packet? Anyway, go on.
U.S. and European officials are meeting today in Paris to talk about how to end the war between Russia and Ukraine. Marco Rubio is there with special envoy Steve Witkoff, along with Ukrainian officials and others. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. calling autism a preventable disease. The Secretary of Health and Human Services held a press conference yesterday. He refuted the CDC's past research showing autism has a genetic link and said it may have been caused by environmental exposure. And there's a planet about 120 light years away that's now given the strongest evidence yet of extraterrestrial life. That, at least according to researchers who say they've found indications of a molecule that on Earth has only one source, living organisms like algae. The planet is K2-18b, and apparently it's known as a sub-Neptune, a planet larger than Earth but smaller than the gas giants that orbit in our outer solar system. Researchers believe that it may be covered with a liquid ocean of water. Of course, the existence of life there is still far from certain. The research was published this week in the Astrophysical Journal Letters, of All which right. I'm sure you're subscribed.
Oh, yeah. No, I had to cancel it last year. I just had to make some cutbacks. But prior to that, I would have read for sure. David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, my God. I'm getting people text me all these Catch-22 characters. Remember Yossarian? Remember Milo Mindbender? Yeah, painfully. Colonel Cathcart, Cathcart House Hotel. All right, I'd had too much coffee today. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors is a great place to go looking for good quality used cars. You know, 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 years young. 10 to 40,000 miles are going to warranty them to 100,000 miles or 10 years, whichever comes first, and you can count on them. And one of the things I recommend is consider them an ally. Consider them a resource instead of an adversary that you're trying to pry a used car out of their hands without getting taken advantage of. I know how you tend to approach the used car or even the new car buying relationship. Just think of Frontier as a place where they're friends who want to help, that have been helping people for more than 25 years, that they can guide you, give you good recommendations. What cars do people like and not like and all of that. Frontier Motors, right on Beverly Parkway behind the Big Buffalo. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. Oh, by the way, remember the whole story about DeSantis excluding people from the meeting the other day? City council member was turned away after having an invite. County commissioner chairman Mike Kohler and Steve Stroberger and Wes Moreno were turned away at the door. Remember, the county and the city wrote letters complaining about the UWF appointments? Wow. I mean, you're turning away the elected officials in whose district you're coming for this hit piece speech?